Our text tonight is Psalm 93. We open our Bibles together to Psalm 93. Psalm 93 begins a series of psalms on the sovereignty of God. Let me show you that. Psalm 93, the opening words, "The Lord reigneth." And then if you page over to Psalm 96, which we just sang, Psalm 96, verse 10, "Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth." And then very similar to Psalm 93, "The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." And then Psalm 97, verse 1, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad." And Psalm 99, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." The text tonight is Psalm 93. "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever." May God bless the reading of Scripture to our hearts tonight. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has brought us to troublesome and trying days. Days that threaten to put us into fear. Days that seek to have our hearts overwhelmed with anxiety, to perhaps become despondent and weary. Days of which Jesus spoke and to us in Luke 21, days when men's hearts fail them for fear and for looking at those things that are coming on the earth. The presidential election apparently is over, and we are looking in fear into the future that abortion will continue, the murder of children. Homosexual agenda will be pressed. Cases of COVID-19 are increasing. Restrictions stay with us, maybe even again to threaten our economy. We fear the closing of our schools. And we have been disrupted for a long time now in our normal way of worshiping as the people of God. Not wrongly, with due care, due respect to the government, and respect to each other. But we long for that to finish. There is unrest in our beloved churches. The precious truth that we have is being contested, where there should be peace. There is accusation, there is turmoil, and the result is there is great confusion among many. And then there are always those personal burdens of our souls as we wait upon the Lord, perhaps, for something that we long for that he does not give, as we contend with depression, as we go through deep trials in our own relationships and marriages. And in all of this, we begin to think, what am I supposed to think? All of this anarchy, all of this unrest, our souls become troubled and our souls become weary, what are we to say? The Lord reigneth. God is absolutely sovereign over all these things. He sits upon his throne and he continues to work out his glory and our good. We put our trust, we find our rest, our strength in the sovereign Lord. Our troubled hearts can find no other place of rest except in him. Ephesians 1 verse 11, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in troublous times. Daniel 4 verse 34, his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from all generations. God is not small. God is not a spectator. In 2020, God's will cannot be stymied. His purposes will be. Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Matthew 10, 29 through 30, the sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from your Father's heavenly will. Your hair of your head is all numbered. Psalm 115, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever pleases him. There's no guarantee for the future of America. We do not know the outcome of COVID-19 or of future pestilences of which our Lord spoke to us before his return will come. We pray for our churches that they be not foolishly divided. We bring to God our own pathway when we know not what we should do. But God remains the same. His will and his purpose remains the same. Surely blessing, I will bless you. He will build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And his sovereignty means that he will direct all things for his glory and for our good. He will not fail. And his sovereignty does not make us passive. It does not make us indifferent. It does not take away our responsibilities to serve him faithfully. But his sovereignty gives to us peace. His sovereignty gives to us strength. His sovereignty gives to us hope. It gives to us a courage, a steadiness in all of these troublesome times. We lift up our heads, for we know that all things, including ourselves, are in God's hands. Tomorrow, the purposes of God in Christ Jesus will stand. We do not need to wonder over God's priorities for tomorrow. He will exalt his name, and he will lift up his word in our souls. He will oppose the proud and give grace unto the humble. He will bless. Who will he bless? Children, remember who he will bless? Blessed are the poor in spirit, the merciful, the meek, those who hunger for righteousness, the pure of heart, peacemakers, those who mourn, the persecuted. He will bless them. And in his sovereignty, he is going to bring the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, all the trials that are facing us, these troublesome times, all of these things, they matter. Yes, they do matter. And the Lord knows that. But there's something that matters much, much more than that. Jehovah reigneth. And so we look at that tonight. The Lord reigns. God's absolute sovereignty. Our God's absolute sovereignty. And we look at verses 1 and 2 where we see him as a sovereign Lord. Then verses 3 and 4, we see the surging flood. as the world in rebellion seeks to overthrow him. And then finally, his sure word in verse 5. Psalm 93 is a declaration. It's something like the Hallelujah Chorus. It's an anthem. It's a shout to the sovereignty of God. God, Jehovah, is reigning. He is sovereign. God, our God, rules everything right now. Everything for his purpose and for our glory. He is sovereign. God's sovereignty is his favorite doctrine. It's his favorite doctrine because it means God, our God, is God. He's not God in name, but he is God in full reality of what it means to be God. God, our God, spoke everything into existence in the beginning. And our God upholds them and controls them to attain his purpose in Jesus Christ. The glory of his grace in Jesus Christ in his church at last in the new heavens and earth. That he is sovereign means simply he is the ruler. He reigns. He rules. He does as he pleases. He does what he pleases. He does when he pleases and how he pleases and to whom he pleases. And he does so always perfectly, excellently, in infinite wisdom and mercy towards his church. And so the sovereignty of God is the chief article of our faith, is the chief point of our Christian faith. We said tonight, we will confess our faith, and we said, I believe in God, the God who is God, the God who reigns right now over everything. If God is not reigning over all things right now, he is not God. If there is anything outside of his control, he is not almighty. If he is dependent upon anything or cannot do something without the consent of something, then he is not God, but he is God. And this is what God does. God rules. Not arbitrarily. Not as we would. But he's God, infinite in wisdom, majesty, grace, and mercy. And he directs every moment of every day. So there's nothing out of sorts. There's nothing out of control. He made an eternal plan before he created the world. It's his counsel. And he's going to carry that counsel out to its ultimate purpose. We are not in the hands of fate. We are not in the hands of a government. We are not in the hands of evolution. We are not simply looking for our destiny. We're not wondering what chance will bring to us. But our God reigns. We trust him. He is God. The God of grace and glory who has opened our hearts to him. This was exactly what the people of God needed to hear when Psalm 93 was written. These psalms of sovereignty that I pointed out to you were probably written after Judah returned from the Babylonian captivity. 7 decades had gone by, and at last a remnant of the Jews had returned to Jerusalem, and it seemed to them that everything was out of control, that their hopes were crushed. They were shaken in their faith in God. Jerusalem was ransacked. There was turmoil among the nations. And the people of God, as they came back to Judah in all of their poverty and lowliness, they were the football of the nations. One nation would come along and kick them, and then the next nation would come along and kick them. Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, they all came back. They built the temple. They built the walls. But everything was hardship. And it was then that they went to the temple and they sang these psalms. What we sing: Jehovah reigns in majesty, let all the nations quake. He dwells between the cherubims, let earth's foundations shake. God is king forever, let the nations tremble. The things that we sang tonight, seemingly everything had fallen down, but God gave them that at the epicenter, at the heart of their faith, would be Jehovah reigneth. Not anarchy, not man. They were not overcome with fear, but they confessed Jehovah reigns. This must be the lens at which we see all of life. And this must be the lens at which we see our own personal lives and the lives of the church. This is the cornerstone of our faith. When your heart is overwhelmed, when you're anxious and despairing, what's going to happen, Lord? Jehovah reigns. Now let's dig into that statement just a little bit in verses 1 and 2. And let's use the figure now of a diamond, and let's look at some of the facets of that truth of God's sovereignty. Jehovah reigns. Let's see a few of the dazzling facets of that diamond. And first of all, we are taught in those words and in verses 1 and 2 that when we say Jehovah reigns, we are confessing his is an exclusive reign. Who reigns? God alone, in providence and in salvation. Note, it simply says, the Lord reigns. It does not say that man reigns, presidents reign, Satan reigns, fate reigns. It does not say that luck, good karma, circumstances reign. It says God rules. He rules alone. It doesn't say that he shares his throne, God and man, God and Satan. It doesn't say that there's this great tug of war going on in this world between God and the nations of this world, between God and Satan, between God and evil, and that they're at a tug of war and God's going to win at the end. It says simply, God rules, absolutely. No democracy, no virus, not man's will, God exclusively reigns right now, our God. Jehovah reigns. You who are learning English know that that is in the present active tense. Literally, Jehovah is reigning right now. Constant, present. Not he was reigning in those Old Testament days. Not he hopes to in the end reign. Not one day he will reign. Right now. Yesterday, today, and forever. Children, when you go to bed at night, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and you're all alone. Or you're afraid. Or your parent is sick. Or there's something troubling you in your heart. You're afraid maybe to go to school. God is reigning right over you. As a married couple, there were days when your love was bright. But now you see the struggle of reclaiming that love. God reigns. God is strong. when you are on the mountaintops of your faith and you're praising him, and when your faith is weak and fallen and you are depressed, God reigns. When you're living and when you die, God reigns. And I said it's in the active tense. Jehovah is reigning. He's not a spectator. He's not an observer of things. God isn't observing and saying, I would like to, but I just can't. Something is holding me back. God doesn't just have eyes, children, to see. He does. He sees you right now, right into your heart and thought. He sees everything. He's God. But he doesn't have just eyes. He has hands. Mighty hands. Hands to hold, hands to keep. We do not believe in deism, that God created the world and he wound it up and now he just lets it go and decides, wonder what's going to happen to this world that I make. I'm going to hold back because I would hate to violate the will of any sinner. No. The Bible is clear. Romans 8:28 is always going to be in the Bible. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And then note with me another facet. Jehovah reigns, exclusive, constant, active, and all comprehensive. The text does not put boundaries on this reign. It does not say Jehovah reigns in this area of life, in this county over there where most are Christians. He doesn't reign when this candidate wins the presidency. He doesn't reign when good things happen, but it's all comprehensive. He doesn't reign, there's not certain jurisdictions that are outside of God's control and rule. He simply rules over all. He rules over the whole creation. The world is established that it cannot be moved. He rules the creation. He rules nations. He rules in the church. He rules in your marriage. He rules in your life, in your strength. He rules in our schools, in our hearts, in our mind, every square inch, every moment. Jehovah reigns. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Let me retranslate that for you. The dice is rolled, but every turn up, every number, every time, every tumble is of the Lord. God is in the details. When you're driving, when you don't check traffic, whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? Jehovah reigns. Now let's step back. We looked at the facets of his sovereignty. Let's step back and look at it. We see majesty. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world is established that it cannot be moved. Majesty. Sovereignty means majesty of God. Majesty is the aura, the impression, the sense, when we stand before His sovereignty, majesty, that we bow in humble love and trust and worship to Him. The psalmist is looking at it as God is on a throne, and God has gone up to His throne, and He is clothed in strength, that is, He is clothed in all of His power and glory. He's clothed in all of His virtues. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's gracious. He's faithful. And He's on His throne. And He's filled with majesty, glory. He's transcendent. He is to be worshipped. And then that majesty means this. It's not only the aura of His sovereignty, but His majesty means that He does not do things in a common way. He does things in a transcendent way. He doesn't just direct, but He directs in infinite wisdom for the glory of His name and for your good. He does not just save, but He saves in a glorious manner. He doesn't just direct your life, but He does it in perfect wisdom and in inexhaustible love. He is clothed with strength. He is almighty. He didn't receive His strength. Nobody gave Him His strength. He is strength. He's changeless. The world is established that it cannot be moved. And the psalmist says, indeed, the world cannot be moved because God established it. God made the world out of nothing. He did that. He's clothed with strength. With His hands, He scooped up the mountains. With His finger, He cut the coastline of the seas. With His hands, He threw out the stars into the universe. He put the earth on its axis, and He spins it, and He keeps it the right distance from the sun. No matter what any eco-person may say, the planet is not going to blow up until the purposes of God with it are finished, and then He will change it Himself into the new heavens and the new earth. He is changeless in His purpose, and He's eternal. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. He's no upstart. He's not recently come to this sovereignty. He's not new at this. How long has God ruled? Well, we would say from the foundation of the world, but that's not the right answer. He's the everlasting God. He always was and is and shall be God. The eternal God is our refuge, who knew us eternally. God who made us knew us eternally. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath us are His everlasting arms. This is the lens through which you must see your life. We must see our life. The majestic, the sovereign God. If you look at your life, and if you look at the church tonight, and if you look at the world any other way than Jehovah reigneth, you're not seeing the world. You're not seeing your life. You're seeing something imaginary that you made up. You're not seeing reality. It is not that our faith is blind. Unbelief is blind because it doesn't believe in God. Faith is not blind. Faith sees reality. He's worthy of all your trust, of all your praise. He has appointed all things for his glory and for our good. But then in verses 3 and 4, the scriptures bring us to something that is very disturbing. The scriptures bring to us a fact, bring to us a reality of something that is extremely sinful. It brings to us in a picture form the sinful rebellion of fallen man against the sovereign God. In verses 3 and 4, the floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up, and so on. In those verses, we're seeing the entire world as it has fallen into sin. We see ourselves by nature. As the world and sin would rise up in hostility and in rebellion against God. That the world would take the words of Pharaoh, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" We see in those verses the world fallen into sin, not humbly bowing beneath the hand of God, praising him for his rule and his righteousness. But we see this fallen world seeking vainly, led by the devil, vainly to overthrow God, to stand up against him. We see not awe for God and worship for his glory and for his sovereignty, but we see fomenting against God. We see rebellion against his sovereignty. We see hatred of him and hatred of his son, especially the church, hatred of the church, because his glory is seen in the church and the world doesn't want to see it. And it's used in the figure of a storm, of a raging sea, of waves and noise of waves. The boasts, the arrogance of men, the threats, the sounding strength of men of what we will do and the life and the world that we will build. It's pictured in the sense of a stormy sea, of man in his sinful rebellion and man in his raging against God's work in his church. It's a figure that is used repeatedly in the scriptures. I'll read you just one of those now. Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 12. Verse 12. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall see far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing, a bramble bush before the whirlwind. Deep in the heart of fallen man in this present world, in the nations, is a despising of God, a tumult. They would think, and the picture is as the waves, even of Lake Michigan, constantly beat against the shore, trying to erode, trying to tear down the kingdom of God. And so the prophets and the psalmists will say, Lord, O Lord, note three times, O Lord, in verse 3, it says, if we understand those words, O Lord, they're speaking as if the Lord's not aware of this. O Lord, the waves. O Lord, the floods are lifted up, their voice. The floods have lifted up their voice, reminding the Lord of these things. This is what they're doing. They make void thy law. They despise thee. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Lord, they call what is good, as you define good, evil. And they call what you say evil, good. They say that what you say is sweet, they call it bitter. And what you say is bitter, they say is good. They say, Lord, what you call darkness, that's light. And they say, Lord, what you say is light is darkness. They turn everything over. This is the propaganda of the world against God, against marriage, against male and female, against confessing thee, against declaring thee, against the church. They deny thee. They stand not for the sovereignty of God, they stand for the sovereignty of sin and of man. Lord, don't you see that? And the response of the psalmist, verse 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. His throne cannot be overruled. We sing, though nations fail thy power to own, yet thou dost reign, and thou alone. We sang this morning, even the wrath of man shall praise thee. Thy designs, thy purposes, it shall fulfill. The boasting and the taunting and the wickedness and the advocation of rebellion and the condemning of God. And God responds, his throne is fixed. He reigns supreme, the everlasting God. And God directs it to fill up the cup of sin that he will judge. And he directs it to try and to purify his church. And he says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When you see these things, lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. You remember, I was thinking of this afternoon. Really, this text is shown us in the life of the Lord when the disciples were crossing the sea and the Lord was in the boat. He was weary. He was sound asleep. And there was a great storm that came up, and these experienced fishermen, it was so great a storm that they panicked. They didn't know how to handle it. They were certain they were going to drown. They woke up the Lord and they said, don't you care that you're asleep and we're all going to perish? And the Lord stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he said to them, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's what this psalm is saying. Don't be of little faith. Church of God, humble yourself. Humble yourself. But do not fear. God is going to preserve his church. Don't fear the boasts of this world. God's going to magnify his name. Don't be afraid. Yes, what you must face personally in your life is great. But the Lord, what do we read? The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of mighty waters. Don't despair. Don't be torn apart. And people of God, as a congregation, don't be divided. Don't be divided over what decisions have been made about COVID or whatever, things like that. It's time for us, under all these stresses, we must remain united in that humble faith that is in Christ, in godliness, in our schools and in our families, in our marriages and with each other. We must be unashamed of Christ. We must be united. How does God exercise his rule over us, over the world? He exercises it by his power. By his power. He laughs, Psalm 2, when they lift up their fist against him. He laughs. He holds them in derision. He says, I have set my king on Zion's hill. He warns them, kiss the son. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you shall perish. He does it by his power. But what instrument is in his hand that he will exercise his rule over us? That's verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. God's testimonies here, thy testimonies are very sure, is synonymous with God's word, with God's written word. The written word of God is very sure. And when the written word of God is called his testimony, it means not only what I said last week, that it is his sworn statement of truth, but testimony here is the outspokenness of God's word. God's word is a clear word. God's word is a straightforward word. God's word is an outspoken word, the outspoken word of God. God does not muffle his voice. God tells it. And I was going to say, he tells it like it is. That's true. But the way you should say that when we're talking about the Bible, God tells it like he is. He tells us who he is. And that's why it's so precious and so majestic. And there's no cracks in it. And there's no falseness in it. And there is nothing in it of which to be ashamed. And that's why it's sure. Sure, you may trust it. And sure, the word sure means, in addition to that, here, energy. A sure word is not only a trustworthy word, but the word refers to energy. So that the confession here is that God's word is sure. It always has been. It is now. It always shall be. It is sure. Let the world say what it wants to. In its classes and in all college classes or whatever, God's word is sure. It's about him. And it gives energy. It imparts life. It is living. All flesh is as grass, and as the flower of the grass. Man is like the flower of the grass. He withereth and he fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Through that word, the sovereign God makes us holy. Thy testimonies are sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. The connection? Like produces like. God's word is holy. It's him. It's his strength. And therefore, those who believe it by his grace It produces in them holiness. How does God work holiness in us? Well, he doesn't work holiness in you from the bottom up. You become a better person. He works holiness in us from the top down. When by his grace we bow beneath the word of God, as that word of God affects our life, and by the Spirit of God it changes us. And then that word of God, this is why we must be in the word of God, that word of God does not change us for a season, for a temporary time, but all our life. And that word of God changes us deeper and deeper as we trust our sovereign Father. This is the psalm that we need today. Our God reigns. The most important thing about you is what comes to your mind when you think about God. When you think of your God, the only God, the Father of Jesus Christ, what do you think? He is God, but is he God to you? If we don't know him by his grace, then we're going to be afraid, and we're going to cower, and we're going to have no place to go, and we'll rely upon the wisdom of the world and ourselves, and we will divide and scatter and separate. But when we know him, we will be hopeful. We will be strong. We will be comforted. We will be active. We will be seeking his will to do it. We'll have confidence. We'll have peace. We'll have light in our darkness. The people who know their God, they shall have peace. Know him, the sovereign God, your God, by grace, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid. Amen. Father, we can only say that we have stammered before thy majesty. Teach us to know thee as thou art, one true God. Reverence the scriptures to our hearts and bring us always to bow before thee, the sovereign, good, gracious, eternal, almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.